Hi, my name is Mark Jenkins. I'd like to welcome you to a new series that I'm entitling A Quarter for Change, 15 Minutes That Can Change Your Life Forever. In our first installment, we're going to be discussing the most important decision that any person will ever make, and that decision is to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. Now, you might be wondering, maybe you have never made that decision, you might be wondering, now why in the world do I need to do that? Well, I remember as a child growing up, I sat through many church services, I heard many people talking about praying the prayer of salvation or getting saved, and I never really understood what that was all about. I knew it had something to do with being free from my sin, but I didn't understand the full implication of why I needed it. And I believe that that's the case for most people. I believe that there's a lot of misunderstanding out there about what it means to be born again. So I want to clear that up, help you understand why you need to make this decision for Jesus, and what the implications are if you don't. Now we can proceed to look into that scripture, into the scriptures, and discover why it is that we stand here today needing to have a Savior. Because as we look through the beginning, the book of beginnings, which is Genesis, and see the account of how the first man was created in this earth, what we're going to discover is that first man was created perfect. So if he was created perfect, how do we ever get into a situation where we needed someone to be our Savior? Because certainly when he was first created by God in the garden, he didn't need to have a Savior because there was no sin in him at the beginning. So let's go back to the book of Genesis. Let's just look very quickly at how and at his condition when he was first created. And that's going to be in Genesis chapter 1. We're going to be looking at verse 27. If you have a Bible, if you don't, I'll simply put the scripture up at the bottom of the screen. Verse 27 says, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them." That first Adam, that first man, he was perfect in every way. Created in the image of God. So something, somewhere had to happen that caused us, as we're born into this world, to need to have a Savior. So let's discover what that is. In the next chapter, in verse 7, this is what we're going to see. "The Lord formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." Okay, let's stop just for a second and let's look at breathing into his nostrils. Because I know for the longest time I thought that was referring to God getting on his knees and breathing air, oxygen, as if God needed oxygen. Now, if we both agree and we understand that God created everything, air is a creation. So do we actually believe that God created something that he himself depended upon? Of course not. That doesn't make sense. So when he breathed, what he did was there was life on the inside of God that he released into this form that he had made of the dust of the earth. And once he did that, it became alive. It became a man, and that man's name is Adam. So Adam had the life of God inside of him. He was created in the image of God, perfect in every way. Now, let's take a look at verse 17 of chapter 2. Because here we're going to find out why we're in the condition that we're in today. Because we can see that Adam wasn't created this way. He was created perfect. And the reason why we're in this state is because of this. In verse 16 and 17 of Genesis 2, "And the Lord commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat." So he could eat of all those trees. "But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day thou eat thereof, thou shalt surely die." You're going to die, Adam, if you eat, because this is the law. God is saying to Adam, this is my law. And he's doing it for a reason, because love is a choice. You have to make a decision if you're going to obey and follow what God wants. And that was the decision that Adam had to make. Were you going to obey God? Were you going to do it simply because he said that? Or were you going to defy him? And that is exactly what Adam did. Adam defied the law that God had established. He partook of that fruit. He was enticed by the enemy, by the serpent, which was the devil, enticed him, but he still made the decision himself to go against God, to rebel, to commit high treason. And in doing so, something happened, because God had said, in the day you do it, you're going to die. Now, if Adam died physically, we wouldn't be here. So something happened. Death entered him in a place that would not cause his physical body to drop dead. What was that? The place, the very place where the life of God had resided inside of him had now turned to death. The life was gone. The moment that he partook of that fruit, death had entered into him and he was spiritually dead. Now we see, this is the reason why every person that's born through the loins of that Adam is born spiritually dead. So, I know now why I need a Savior. I'm spiritually dead until I accept Jesus. Well, why is it that accepting him can cause me to return to that original state that Adam held in the garden? Well, it's very simple. You see, when death entered inside of us, there was no place in this universe where life, the life of God, resided. It had to come from the outside, where God exists, into this world. And how did it do it? Well, it came through the natural birth canal of a woman by the name of Mary. As a virgin, had never been touched by a man, she gave birth to Jesus. And in doing so, Jesus came into this world. He brought with him the life of God, in perfection, sinless in every way, and never a day in his life did he ever commit sin on this earth. So he brought into this world that was dominated by spiritual death, he brought the life that we all needed, and he did it in a sinless, spotless body and spirit. So when he went to the cross, and this is where we get back to the understanding of the prayer of salvation, or making Jesus the Lord of our life. What we're doing is, when we say, Jesus, I make you my Lord and Savior, we are identifying in his death on that cross. And not only that, but in his burial and resurrection. See, it's not just about sin. Sin is only part of the equation. The rest of that equation is being born again. Because sin doesn't return us to the exact state that the first Adam was in. But being free from sin and the born-again experience of being reborn into spiritual life, that does return us. And in doing so, in being born again, we're not just simply born again, but we're reborn into God's family. Isn't that wonderful? And that returns us to the original state that the first Adam had. So what do we have to believe? Well, you have to believe that Jesus came to this world perfect in every way. Not just Son of God, but Son of Man. That the genetics, the DNA of his physical body could be traced to the first Adam, but the DNA of that human spirit could be traced to God. And then when you see him dying on that cross, what you see is not just God, the Son of God, but the Son of Man. And we can identify with him as the Son of Man, him in our place, the perfect sacrifice. And what is he doing? He's paying the price for the sin of the spiritual death committed by that first Adam. So we enter into that payment. We enter into that redemption from that sin. And in doing that, we're also entering into that born again experience that he had. And we can see that in the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5 says, "And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead." He's the first begotten of the dead. Now, if there's a first, there's a second, there's a third, there's a fourth, and somewhere in there is my number because I am born again, and somewhere in there is your number if you accept Jesus and make him the Lord of our life, of your life. Let me show you one more scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. And it says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new." When you make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, you become a new creation, reborn in your human spirit. Never existed before the moment that you said yes to Jesus. Old things passed away. That old man, the old sinner, is gone. You are a brand new creation in Christ Jesus when you make him Lord of your life. One last scripture before we finish here today is going to be in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. It says, "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Confess Jesus as Lord. Believe that God sent Jesus into this world, the Son of God, that he lived a life sinless and died in our place on the cross to pay the price for sin. And not only that, but that he rose from the dead, the first begotten from the dead. And as you believe that, you enter into his death, burial, and resurrection, and you are born again, a child of God, and you return to the original state that first Adam held in the garden as a child of God. If you would like to do that right now, let's pray and simply believe. Believe what I've taught you today. Believe this. And as you say it and you believe, it happens on the inside of you that you're born again. Dear Lord Jesus, I believe that you came into this world sinless, the Son of God and the Son of Man, that you lived a life sinless, and that you died in my place on the cross. And I accept in substitution the payment of your death in my place. And Lord Jesus, I believe that you rose from the dead and that I am born again and that I am a child of God. Father, I thank you. I thank you that I am saved in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer, please let us know. Fill out the contact information on the back page of our website. And we'd just love to answer any questions that you might have. Well, I thank you for joining us today for this 15 minutes that we're calling A Quarter for Change.